I'm Mohesh Sharma from Nepal.
You studied 4 years, you studied environmental management?
I did environmental management from Nepal. It's a 4-year course, and now I've completed my environmental management from SCIMS,
Okay.
related to Pokhara University.
All right. And so for the people out there who don't know what that is, you're listening to Wild Time Online with myself, Thomas Janak, and I'm joined via Skype today by Mahesh Sharma, who is in Nepal, and we're talking about his work. Nepal has been featured quite a couple of times here on Wild Time. We were talking to Bernie Wright on one of my shows, who was involved in dog rescue in Nepal. Then I was talking to Frenchman Vincent Fournier, who is about to open a retirement center for elephants in Nepal. And now we have a gentleman that is native from Nepal. Mahesh, you're working in something that is called Roots and Shoots.
Yeah, exactly. I was working in Roots and Shoots since last 2005. Actually, Roots and Shoots is a youth program.
Okay.
It is supported by Dr. Jane Goodall, and in Nepal we are basically working in three major sectors, and one in human community, and other is environmental sector, and next one is wildlife sector.
Okay, so Jane Goodall is known to people all around the world for her love for monkeys and apes and this sort of
Exactly,
thing,
exactly.
right? What are the major problems with regards to your work?
In Nepal, sometimes it's hard to change the perception of the people because people are not that much into wildlife sector. So if you talk about the wildlife things, normally it seems like people are ignoring, and sometimes we are striving, and sometimes it's hard for us to make a change in the wildlife sector, and that's the one issue. And on the other hand, and many more youth today are open up into this wildlife sectors, and so are and they are making really good change. Like in Roots and Shoots, we did a lot of wildlife issues, like rescuing monkey, rescuing leopards, rescuing snakes, and we inspire youths and kids to take action in environmental and wildlife sector as well.
Yeah, I think about, I used to be a social worker here in Ireland, working with people in sort of so-called marginalized areas. And I often sort of, because I'm an animal psychologist, so I often try to bring them together with animals. And you can see that they really do connect to them and they genuinely care. And I think when you get the kids, when you get them when they're young, then in the future, there's less and less problems for the animals.
Yeah, exactly. In Nepal also the scenario is quite the same because there are many problems which we need to address, and some we need to address from grassroots level, and some we need to address it from policy level. And normally we inspire kids from up to class 10 to take action in this sort of problem. And what we do to inspire them is we assign them a project course, and and the kids will try to find what are the problems in their community, in their society, and they act accordingly, and we guide them and we inspire them, and sometimes we support them through funding as well.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about the funding because when you were mentioning that you are rescuing snakes and leopards and stuff and you care for them, there's a lot of money that you have to spend to keep them safe and alive and healthy. And you were saying that you have to change a few things from policy level. So I naturally assume, which is always the case, unfortunately, that you don't get much funding. Are you funded at all?
Incorporate our program and project with government people over here, with the government level, and whenever we go in a rescue and raid program, we normally raise fund through ourselves by doing like small fundraising activities, organizing events, sometimes selling t-shirts, and sometimes sometimes like someone who are really interested in animal, they donate us. likewise, and whenever it comes like a issue of a big thing, like a big project, then we normally coordinate with the Department of National Park and Wildlife Conservation here in Nepal and people in government level. That's why we are functioning here.
If people want to donate to you from outside of Nepal, how can we do this? Do you have information that I can put up on the blog so that people can donate to you if they want to?
People can get us through roosansus.org, and that's the international website. We do have our own blog in Nepal, but we don't have a website. We are soon planning to design a website.
Yeah, I mean, websites, again, would cost you money. Blogs are for free, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why we are, like, for this moment, we are focusing on blog because it is easy to access, and you don't have to pay or use a sum of money for blog.
Absolutely.
It's almost free.
Your environmental studies that you did in Nepal, a lot of people here in Europe, I would assume, are not too familiar with problems, environmental problems in Nepal. What are your main concerns over there? Is it habitat loss, or what is your main problems that you have?
In Nepal, normally there are some problems of deforestation. The problem of deforestation is all over. And the other problem here is illegal trading and poaching of fauna and flora of different endemic as well as exotic species. Kathmandu, the capital city of Nepal, is converting as an illegal hub for international trade as well, because people supply from Kathmandu to other parts of Nepal Tibet, other countries like Tibet, and from Kathmandu airport, the illegal supplies goes to goes to Bangkok, Thailand, and in the rest of the Bhutan and Bangladesh as well.
Okay, and what they are supplying there, is it plants for medicine or?
Normally, they are the wildlife parts, including bone of different wildlife species, and sometimes we can find exotic boars and boars. As well as live birds are found to be smuggler from Kathmandu airport.
I just want to mention this for the listeners is we know that, for instance, in traditional Chinese medicine, there are some tinctures that they have, but they are basically laced in tiger bones. Apparently, there's wildlife parts, sort of animal parts used in mm-hmm. for medicine. So they send it to lots of places, including China, which is a very big state, very difficult, I think, to probably have them prosecuted for anything. And I don't even know if they have laws against all this. So I reckon you fight on many levels. How do you try to prevent people from poaching and supplying other countries with so-called wonder medicines?
Exactly. We are not funded with a huge sum of money in Nepal, and we are quite a group of few people working or striving to make a change. And what we do is we just go on the spot, collect information, and we do have many informers in different parts of Nepal. So once we get information from where and what sort of animal parts are being smuggled, and then we immediately inform to the government bodies to take action on them. And what we are doing here in Nepal is we are spreading extensive awareness program regarding this illegal supply and trade of wildlife parts. So what we are doing is we go to the colleges and universities, and we conduct different programs, and we do campaigning to a lot of people. And besides that, no any direct approaches has been taken so far, because we don't have enough funds to carry on such a direct action activities.
Yeah, that's why I think it's important to do this interview. So that people can donate funds.
Because there are so many issues that needs to be addressed. Some are from grassroots level, and some are from policy level. And sometimes you don't stand and see what's going on. You really need to act on that. So for that, to take any direct action approach, we need a lot of money. So for that, we are still seeking funds for that.
How does tourism play into it? Are the tourists helpful, or are they part of the problem?
Yeah, there are both sides. So sometimes tourists are as well found to be smuggling with different sorts of, and sometimes in eastern part of the Nepal, some tourists call it a butterfly species, and they were planning to trade, and we got information, and we are able to rescue, and in the same way, there are some tourists who really support this illegal trade of business, and on the other hand, there are some tourists who are actively working in Nepal to conserve the endangered and rare species of flora and fauna in Nepal.
I think it's important to address it. You know, I think what people have to do, and I know a lot of people are doing it, is I think the times where people just go on and hang out on the beach should really be over. They should really see that it is important to conserve the countries and all the habitats and wildlife and stuff within. And apparently, if I get that, what I'm getting so far is that apparently, because our currency is stronger in most cases than your own, we could do quite a lot of damage, and we could also help quite a lot.
Exactly.
So from within Nepal, you were saying that a lot of people, you have problems changing perceptions. This is not a Nepalese problem, believe me. oftentimes when it comes to our animal kin, a lot of people just see them as lower life forms or say, well, you know, it's the survival of the fittest, without understanding that every time you take out a species, you are upsetting the web of life. So it will bite us in the backside eventually. The 4 years that you did, how did it change you?
It was my interest since childhood. In my child, I used to go to bird watching, and I used to care for the animals. I'm an animal lover, and so from my childhood, I was interested in working in animal sector. So when I got a chance to meet Mr. Manoj Gautam, our coordinator in Rusansus, Nepal, so in 2005, then after I've been engaging in Rusansus, until now I'm working in Rusansus, Nepal.
Apparently, you know, the funny thing is there are a lot of good people out there that are trying to sort of help. But it sounds to me that you do not have enough people that fight with you. You were saying, I mean, you go to school and stuff, but do you have programs where people could say, from the Western world or wherever they're from, I would like to stay with you guys for 6 months and do something? Do you have facilities, or is there any idea about that?
Actually, we are running a vulture conservation program in the western part of Nepal, and we provide platform to people from around the world who want to help, our projects, who want to join us to move with our projects. So in western part of Nepal, we provide a platform to volunteers, and so they can work with a local community, because the local community in western part of Nepal are more active. Even they used to be less while we're talking about vulture, because in Nepal, vulture are considered to be as a bad, a symbol of bad evil. But gradually, after we started our project there, it took us like more than 6 months to lobby with the people and to convince them, and now they are much more into it, and from the community level, they are putting an enormous effort to support our project as well. So people from all over the world who want to participate or want to work, who want to join with Rusansus Nepal, can work in there, and we provide them a platform.
You were talking about the policy level. What would you like to have changed from a policy level point of view?
From policy level point of view, government should provide a platform to a local community to preserve wild species of flora and fauna in Nepal. What we see here in there are lots of NGOs. They are working to preserve the endemic or rare species of flora and fauna inside the country, but if government makes such policy that the policy could incorporate local bodies into that, and so local bodies are much more aware about the problem in their community, and they can act accordingly. So local people should be put front in terms of taking action, or in terms of doing action-based activities in their community. I think government should provide some initiatives to local bodies as well.
Okay, and apparently so far that hasn't happened. Is there any help from the government at all?
Yeah, in some places, while promoting ecotourism and while safeguarding the lives of the people, government has taken some initiative, but still government has to go a long way ahead to incorporate local bodies into its action and into action.
Okay.
So I'm currently working in Animal Welfare Network Nepal. It's like a network of 6 or 7 organizations in Nepal. So I'm currently working as a campaign coordinator in this, especially to do you heard about the Garimai campaign? It's about a mass killing of animal. Almost 250,000 of animal were killed in last November 24 and 25 within 2 days, Thomas. So in Nepal we are running an intensive awareness campaign, and hundreds of thousands of animal at Garimai festival were killed. So this network especially focuses on running a 5 years campaign.
I only saw a clip or two about it on Facebook, but what exactly is the festival about?
Thomas, I've been working in two of the organizations. One is Rusensus, and in Animal Sacrifice Campaign in Nepal. It's a 5 year campaign related to Animal Welfare Network Nepal. So I think I'll talk a little bit about this Animal Welfare Network Nepal campaign. Would it be fine for you?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, it's like Animal Welfare Network is a network of committed animal welfare agencies in Nepal. And we are running a 5 years campaigning to end all forms of animal cruelty in Nepal. So what we are focusing is we are pressurizing authorities and civil society to end animal sacrifice, and we are conducting grassroots education campaign. And in the same way, we are conducting nationwide awareness raising campaign, and we are forming a different coalition with international campaign groups, and we are also sensitizing media represented people, and we are conducting media outreach activities in Nepal. And
so the sacrifices, I mean, that's a bit of a problem, isn't it, in the sense that a lot of people would say, well, that's our tradition.
Yeah, actually, normally here in Nepal, people offer animal sacrifice in the name of religion and culture and tradition. But the important, I want to say you the important fact as in Nepal previously there used to be a widow burning practice, and in widow burning practice has almost been banned in Nepal. It's been a decade since widow burning practices in Nepal, and that's also the tradition. But what we cannot understand is people still are sacrificing animal in the name of religion and God. According to the religious leader, and sacrifice has to be done, but it is not mentioned anywhere that animals should be sacrificed. In that place, people can offer vegetables and fruits.
Yeah, or rice. So, or something, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. So the trend has been changing year. Now people living in the urban area are much more aware about the practices of animal sacrifice, and slowly the trends has been changing. But still in the rural part and in the urban area where people are still illiterate, and
so you have always the problem. Education is the key, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Education is the main key, and so that's what we are running intensive awareness program as well as conducting different school shows, conducting different road shows, and we are planning to form a social mobilizer group that will go into the rural part of Nepal and will address this sacrificial and will address this animal sacrifice issue, and people hopefully we are soon going to launch a social mobilization group in different parts of Nepal to aware people to quit of animal sacrifice and to the further in answer, like fruits or sacrificing animals.
Okay, so this sounds like a monumental task. Apparently, yeah. It's just like you said at the beginning, like, you know, changing perceptions and age-old traditions, it's going to be quite difficult.
Exactly. What we believe is, it is not a one-shot activity, so we can't expect a change in one night. So it will take time, maybe years and years. So I think ultimately we will be successful in changing the perception of people and avoiding them that animal sacrifice is not a good idea, because animal also feel pain, animal also feel suffer. I think we need to change the perception of people.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially it's quite simple, really, because you were saying that they feel pain, just like we do. You know, you stick a knife into a human, or you stick a knife into an animal, it feels the same. And I think that's probably the level on which you have to address it, sort of keep it simple.
Yeah, exactly. We are doing that because animal also feel pain, and because animal also need freedom, as we do humans. And nobody has the right to abuse the animal for their selfish purpose.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about is a lot of times people use the argument for eating animals and say we're too poor, we don't have rice or anything else. Would meat be a big part of the food sort of diet, a stable diet in Nepal?
Yeah, normally in Nepal, I think people have to spend a lot of money while keeping animal husbandry, while practicing animal husbandry, because I think grains are much more cheaper here in Nepal than a goat and meat.
That's good to hear, because grains is available and it is cheaper, so nobody's going to starve.
And there are lots of diseases that has been spreading from mismanagement, and because in Nepal there is no any proper slaughterhouse and no monitoring has been taken so far while transporting and while transporting animal. So I think government should take some legal strategy to regulate such practices.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, would you like to? I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know, would you like to see it completely? Would you like to see it regulated, or would you like to see it gone?
What we are doing here in Nepal is we regularly lobby with people in policy level. Last time we organized a invite people from Constitutional Assembly, and we organized a meeting. Asking for this CA member to enforce Animal Welfare Act, and we are still lobbying for the Animal Welfare Act. So hopefully Animal Welfare Act will be passed soon within Nepal, because in almost like in India, USA, and in rest of the places, Animal Welfare Act has already been executed. So in Nepal, we are still lobbying with the concerned authorities, with the ministry level people, to draft that act.
Okay, so everything is pretty slow. That's part of your problem, but that's actually a part everywhere. Things change is very slow. Changing policies, all these things are sort of slow. So your patience will be tested quite a bit. The people that studied with you, is there anyone that works with you now, or did you all go your separate ways?
No, there are some friends of mine who are supporting this campaign as well. So we are doing census. We are both here in Nepal. We mainly focusing on both in wildlife conservation as well as in animal sector.
Okay.
Because here are only few people who are initiating in this sector. So we are really focusing on animal welfare as well as wildlife conservation.
Okay, I just need to know that. I have to let you go because my dog is scratching on the door down there. I have to let him out. Mahesh, thank you so much for doing this.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye bye now. Bye.
Bye bye. Bye bye.